Mm-hmm. Well, here we are again at Yahweh's Covenant People, broadcasting on Eurofolk Radio. We're in the middle of an upgrade, folks, so we've been having some technical difficulties. Last Sunday, I could not get Voice of Christian Israel to go live, blah, 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 blah. And so today, I was kind of waiting with bated breath for the broadcaster to turn on, and it did.
What would you catch with that bated breath, and what kind of bait were you using?
Yeah, right, yeah. A fly? Carp?
Oh.
No, carp. I don't like carp.
Evidently, Seven of None says you're on.
All right, very good.
And Finn 87 says, praise Yahweh and pass the ammunition. Well,
all
thank
right.
you, brother. Appreciate that. Yahweh bless you, too.
Yes.
So,
okay, so
he certainly has blessed me. My new computer is here. My big screen is here. I have two killer systems now to help with EFR. And look at that smiling face I see there.
Yeah, yeah, we're trying to bring Greg in.
There he is.
Yes. Yes. Yeah,
Father.
So, yeah.
Hello,
so
Greg.
How's the fishing, Pastor Greg?
Brothers, life
I know.
Has been complicated lately.
Okay.
I barely got in here tonight. I'm glad to be here. I'm sorry for the lack of communication.
Well, you better put some clothes on because we can't have you barely on the show. This is a Christian show now, Greg.
Yeah, yeah. Greg's always late because he's trying to catch fish. From,
I hope you brothers did not lose faith in me.
No, we didn't.
All right.
We'll try not to. But we're going to, we've got a bunch of good people in the chat room, Christian Israelites, waiting for, by the way, I just got a call. It's worth mentioning, because Doc Waterman and I have done a couple of shows about the big eclipse that's happening on August 21st. Which is going to divide the United States from Oregon to Florida in totality. Okay, so everybody from Oregon to Florida, it's going to cross the southern tip of my home state, Illinois, near Carbondale, if anybody knows where Carbondale's at. Now, get this. I just found out that in exactly 7 years, in 2024, eclipse is going to cross America, this time from the southeast to the northwest, and it's going to intersect the current path of this year's eclipse, and they're going to intersect. You see the southern star, the stars and bars, Steve? You see that?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
7 years
see
apart.
That.
And Carbondale.
St. Andrews Cross.
There you go.
Yep.
Carbondale, Illinois is going to be the intersection point. Guess what fault line is right there?
New Madrid Fault Line,
folks. So the first thing that David, who called me, David in Missouri, said, this sounds like the seven-year tribulation to me. I said, okay, let's stay alert. We've been telling everybody to stay alert
here
anyway.
Here we are. Now, let me put this out. If anybody's going to watch that, do not watch directly. You have to poke two little holes in a little piece of cardboard with a pin and watch through that, because if you look at it directly, it will burn your retinas and you'll lose your vision.
Mm-hmm.
That's a warning.
No, so in other words, you make eyeglasses with two pinholes, or the pinholes on a piece of cardboard?
On a piece of cardboard, just to have a space for your eyes. So it'll cut the main sunlight out, and you don't get that UV in there.
Right.
Because if you stare at the sun for too long, it will damage your vision severely.
Okay. So,
and we don't need that. We need everybody whole and fit.
Yeah. Or you can buy those special glasses they make just for viewing eclipses. So. Okay. So otherwise, a pair of pinholes will do too. Okay.
Brothers, I've read enough. I'm just going to watch the highlights on YouTube. That's how I watch anything anymore.
I may try to do it live.
I know enough to not look at that sun when it's doing its thing.
Well, yeah, but that's you. But we got people that haven't got the education that we've got, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're younger, and the education has been downgraded, and they're not taught these things.
Have they been taught that they can choose their gender? Are they in that level of education?
No, well, that's not in that class, but it's up to us elders to guide them.
Right.
Yeah, well said.
Well, hey, I'm a Martian, and I have special reproductive organs, so I need a gender bathroom all for myself, all for Martians only.
There you go.
Right? Well, okay.
I'll
just
never
declare what you are.
Except where you can choose your gender. You know, I mean, I'm my 60s, man. I grew up, I'm a baby boomer. When I grew up, it was all established. What bathroom you went to, you were a boy, you were a girl. There was no debate.
Good will become evil, and
there were no libtards.
Yeah, exactly. And
there were no libtards.
I don't understand this whole transgender thing.
There were no social justice weirdos.
You're not that gender. You're going to be another gender.
Right.
I don't get that.
Yeah. And children that can have two mommies or two daddies.
Okay.
Right?
Another announcement. Nancy Pelosi was not in an accident. That's
fake. That's really bad news. That she was not in an accident.
That's another scam, folks.
Yes.
So
okay.
That's a Hummer. Mm.
Yeah. You know, I think what's happening, Steve, is that the Jews are starting to get into independent media in order to discredit the independent media, putting out all kinds of fake stories.
Yeah, you know, but
not just on
we're here.
Yeah.
And we're going to pull them out of the water.
Yeah, we'll double check
everything. We're lurking in the background, just waiting for them.
Okay, so. are you saying we'll make sure that Nancy Pelosi is dead, or make sure that the story is fake? Right?
Spin 87 says I identify as a helicopter.
Right?
You're just gonna spray all over the place,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah. Oh well.
Yeah. And you can play the helicopter soundtrack wherever you go.
Yeah.
Annoy the hell out of people. Yeah, right? Exactly.
Okay. We need to get into Second Esdras here.
We do? Oh, okay.
too much fun, man.
Too much fun.
Too much fun, dude.
Too much fun, not enough time. All right, folks. So last week we left off chapter 1 of Second Esdras at verse 27. But let me back up to verse 25. Because this sets the scene for the rest of the chapter, of chapter 1. And this is reminiscent of so many biblical chapters, especially in the Old Testament, where Yahweh chastises his people Israel, that is us. Seeing ye have forsaken me, I will forsake you also. When ye desire me to be gracious unto you, I shall have no mercy upon you. So unless you're obeying his law, you make entreaties to him, he's not going to pay. You know, he does not answer the prayer of sinners. He just doesn't.
No.
Okay. Whensoever you shall call upon me, I will not hear you. For ye have defiled your hands with blood, and your feet are swift to commit manslaughter. Ye have not as it were forsaken me, but your own selves, saith Yahweh. And of course, the Israelites were doing all kinds of pagan worship, sex orgies in the groves. You know, you can't pray in his name and be doing that kind of thing. He does not appreciate it. Over to you guys.
Yeah, you got that right, brother. You know, I don't know how much groundwork we laid last week going into this book of Second Esdras. This is basically a yet another spectacular hidden book. Ezra was a contemporary of Baruch, and I think the last time we did this book, Eli, we established Ezra's writings at somewhere around 450 B.C., which put him right in the era of Jeremiah and, and Baruch.
So was Nehemiah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this was a very rich period of prophecy. Some of the books made it into our so-called Bible. Other books were hidden, and that's the books that we are into. This book of 2 Ezra, also known as 4 Ezra, not sure why it's known as 4 or 2. I always view it as 2 Ezra.
Yeah.
But this book has so much truth in it. To me, this is one of the greatest books of prophecy ever written. Of course, that's why it was not included in the Bible. The Bible is for the masses, and these books are for the elect. That's how I look at it. And there are some of the elect out there scattered among Christendom. There's got to be.
Well, the two books of Ezra and Nehemiah that are in the scriptural are centered around a lot of the sinning that was going on in that area, especially interracial marriage by people of the priest class. And they were told to set their families aside. Well, almost all of them did, but there are some writings around that says, pardon me, that some of them did not. And you remember in Yeshua's time, what was left of the priest class wasn't the priest class. They had killed all the Aharonic seed line and populated the priesthood by favor. Herod put in whoever he wanted, and they were Edomites. And they were also Pharisees pretending to be Judahites, but they were not. They brought in the Babylonian Talmud, which is what they were teaching at the temple when Yeshua Messiah reviled them and says, you teach for doctrine the commandments of men. You make the Torah of no effect.
Okay.
And these are the people. This is the beginning of it, which would culminate in those actions in Yeshua's time.
Yes.
So the Ezra and Nehemiah and all the other Ezras that are in there, he was more prolific writer. These lay the foundations for the pollution of the priesthood and the race mixing that went on, which messed up all the area around Jerusalem.
Well, Ezra and Nehemiah put an end to that.
These are foundation books right here.
Ezra and Nehemiah put an end to that and cleaned house, but it's obvious that under Herod...
Well, almost.
Okay. But it's definitely going on in the days of Herod. It was going on with a vengeance in the days of Herod. And that's why Yahshua identified the Pharisees as the children of the devil in John chapter 8 and as descended from Cain in Matthew chapter 23. Okay? So he ought to know. But last week, because we were getting toward the end of the show, I had a question for you, Steve, on verse 22. And you were reading from the scriptures. Let me read how it is in this Amplified King James Version. This is the New Cambridge Paragraph Bible with Apocrypha.
Right.
Verse 22 says, "Thus saith the Almighty Lord," or
that would be El Shaddai.
El Shaddai, okay. "When you were in the wilderness, in the river of the Amorites, being athirst and blaspheming my name," and that's verse 22. Your reading was quite different, as I recall. Would you read verse 22 from the scriptures, or from your translation, whichever it was you were using last week?
Well, okay, let me turn this light on. verse 22. "Thus says the Lord Almighty," and that is, let me see my notes down here, down below, because this Bible has...
It's not Yahweh, and it's...
No.
L-O-R-D is not capitalized. It's capital L, smaller case.
That would be El Shaddai.
Right.
Because that's different. "When you were in the wilderness, in the river of the Amorites, being athirst and blaspheming my name."
Okay.
Okay.
Go into verse 23, because maybe that's where the problem is in translation.
"I did not send fire on you for your blasphemies, but threw a tree into the water and made the stream sweet."
Okay.
It evidently was polluted water.
Okay, because I guess the river of the Amorites at the bitter waters, or waters of Mara?
Well, it was evidently an alkaline stream, and if you drink alkali water, it's poison.
Oh, really?
Out west, they have alkali ponds.
Okay.
And they have to fence them off so the cattle don't go in there, because it'll kill them.
Oh, wow. Oh,
and they tasted that and spit it out. Oh, we can't drink this. Well, they threw some kind of vegetation, a tree, into that, and it neutralized, evidently, the alkaline, the alkali. That's not alkaline, it's alkali, which is a poison. It's caustic.
Okay.
Okay.
Because it has an alternative reading here, rendering of verse 22. a verse instead of in the river of the Amorites, it could be read at the bitter waters or waters of Marah, M-A-R-A-H.
And that is what it said in the scriptures.
Okay. Okay.
Waters of Marah, which means bitter.
Okay. Okay. So you're saying that's so alkaline water. Very interesting.
Bitter, yes.
Okay. Well, that
they had to throw this tree in there, and because they were crying, "Oh, we're going to die mm-hmm. from thirst. We can't drink this. We're out of water, and this is poison." Mm-hmm. And wow. You know right. how we did back then. We were a bunch of libtards whining,
right?
But not this, unlike today, of course.
Yeah, right.
Not.
We're not like that anymore. So that explains a lot. So River of the Amorites really doesn't say much, but this alternative reading tells us that it was poisonous water.
Water from Marah, and they say the bitter water. That's where the location was, in Amorite territory.
Right. Okay. Right? All right. All right. So that alternative reading gives us a fuller explanation of the fact that the water is actually alkaline and therefore poisonous. Okay. And then, Greg, you want to pick up on verse 28?
Yes. Let me jump in here.
Okay.
Verse 28 goes, "Thus says the Lord Almighty, have I not entreated you as a father entreats his sons, or a mother her daughters, or a nurse her children, that you should be my people, and I should be your God, that you should be my sons, and I should be your father?" I don't know about you guys, but I just see continually in these apocryphal books the concept of the exclusivity of a particular group of people and the exclusion of all other groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, this is the very essence of Christian identity, is that there's a particular group of people on the planet that Yahweh is concerned about, and everybody else is of no or small consequence.
Is it the Jews, Greg? Trick question.
No, brother. It's the white race.
My version says, "Thus says the Almighty Lord," which means El Shaddai again. "Have I not prayed you," which means entreated, "as a father his sons?" Now that's a direct lineage right there. "As a mother her daughters, and as a nurse her young babes."
But that didn't all races descend from Adam and Eve?
That direct family right there.
Right?
That's it.
And 29 amplifies that she would be my people, the only people he ever chose,
yeah,
and I should be your Elohim, that ye would be my children, and I should be your father. Well, who do we pray for? Mm-hmm. Who did Yeshua tell us to pray to? Our Father who art in heaven.
Didn't all races descend from Adam and Eve?
Negative. In fact, I have a note here. The first few verses of this book, Ezra gives us his racial lineage going back 20 generations.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I counted it. He goes back 20 generations to establish his racial bona fides here,
mm-hmm,
that he is not just a white man, but a white man that can trace back his racial lineage 20 generations back to Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a priest, a Levitical priest from the line of Aaron. And no doubt he could have taken it all the way back to Adam, but he figured 20 generations going back to Aaron was sufficient. This is why today, when we hear the concept that, you know, race doesn't matter anymore, we're all just the human race, we're all just the human family, I realize that's the seed line of Cain attempting to, trick us, to take us off of the path of understanding.
Well,
race is everything. It's everything. That's why the white race is hated around the world, because we're the one true divine race on this planet, and everyone hates us for it. Some of them hate us to varying degrees. The Jews obviously want to erase us from the planet because they hate us the most, and they have actually incited the other races to hate us, when in reality those other races probably only exist because of our benevolence and our stupid altruism toward them. They may well have ceased to exist a few generations ago had we not stupidly, you know, given them medicine and water and our technology and everything else. They may well have just been gone. The blacks, I think, would have been erased had it not been for us.
Well, they would have starved to death by now. I have a comment on the lineage. The reason he went back to Aharon was he established himself not only as a Levite, but as an Aharonic Levite of the class of the high priest. And he spoke with the authority of that class of priest that was very special to the Israelites. There were other Levites that did other work with the temple and the ark and all the rest of it, but the Aharonic seed line was very, very special was set aside for the most important duties. They were the only ones. The high priest was the only one that could go into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. That's it. Anybody else would die.
Yes.
So that is his bona fides right there. That's the reason he did that. And as to these other races, we have raised, temporarily albeit, the blacks from the Stone Age, from intertribal warfares and starving to death. Now what they have is the Crips and the Bloods and the other gangs, right. And they've got intertribal warfares.
We gave them
they've
wheels.
They've returned to their brightly colored clothing and their tribal dances. They have reverted to type in the inner cities and have taken it over.
Yeah,
and we have lost the inner cities unless we have a massive firestorm there.
They brought their so-called the music with them.
And the Japanese would have continued to be in their feudal state. Only contact with the white race raised them up out of that and introduced them to technology.
Yep. Good observation, brother.
Introduced them, but they're still unable to use it.
We bring the others up, and the others bring us down.
Right.
And if the liberals don't like that, that's tough toenails. I'm sorry. If the truth hurts, it doesn't make it less the truth.
Yeah, Greg, go ahead and continue. Please read verse 30.
Yeah, and you know, verse 30, as is, by the way, this, I don't remember which exact gospel. I want to say it's in Matthew, where Christ quotes this verse directly from this book.
Yeah.
And it could be taken out of context that he was trying to gather the Jews. And when we see the context here, he's talking about his racial brethren. He says, I gathered you as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. He's talking about his racial kin, his rebellious brothers and sisters. He says, but now what shall I do to you? I will cast you out from my presence. When you offer oblations to me, I will turn my face from you, for I have rejected your feast days and new moons and circumcisions of the flesh. I sent to you my servants, the prophets, but you have taken and slain them and torn their bodies in pieces. Their blood I will require of you, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord Almighty, your house is desolate. I will drive you out as the wind drives straw.
Okay, let me comment right here. Because the Israelites were dedicating all these things to false gods, okay? And they had the wrong calendar. They were using the Jewish calendar based on new moons, right? And they were blaspheming the feast days instead of, observing them correctly. But it is Matthew chapter 23. Let me read verses 34 through 37 here. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and he's speaking to the Pharisees here, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, as they have done to our people for the last 2,000 years. Verse 35, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. He's still talking about these Edomite Jews here. Verse 36, verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. And then he addresses Jerusalem as a people. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not.
Oh.
Okay. So.
So it would appear here that he's expanding upon the writing of Ezra.
Yeah, he's expanding on verse 30.
To direct it to both our people and to the Edomites, to the Jews. But let me ask you this, Eli. When Christ himself is quoting from this book, does this not establish this book as an incredible scripture book?
I would think
he's
so.
He's quoting. He's obviously quoting directly from 2 Ezra.
All right.
Is he not?
Yeah, absolutely.
He has to be.
Pastor Steve and I did the book of Esther from the Septuagint. And the fact is that these books are contained in Septuagint, which is the original Greek translation from the Hebrew by 70 Judahite scribes done around 250 BC, okay?
Right.
That is the original Old Testament in the Greek writings of our Israelite ancestors. Yet we have Judeo-Christian pastors who deny the validity of the Septuagint when obviously here, this is available in the Septuagint, and Jesus is quoting it.
Well, the Septuagint has a lot of stuff in there that the King James does not, because they've cut a bunch of stuff out.
Yeah.
It interfered with their agenda.
That's right. That's right.
And the King James, the original King James, had a number of things in there, and they've cut it further.
Yeah. Yeah, and we proved that
your
the
average
book
pastor
of Esther,
today has been trained by either Jewish theologians or Jewish influenced, you know, fake theologians. They're all walking around with their Scofield Bibles, and their minds are so turned around. They don't know. They're just parrots.
And a pocket full of money.
Yeah, they don't know what they're doing. Right. Brothers, I was one of those. I don't even know how I'm here today. It's just the mercy of Yahweh. Because I went through all of that. I had a Scofield Bible.
Yeah.
Well, I started out as Southern Baptist.
Yeah, I mean,
which is worse?
Well,
a Schofielder or a Southern Baptist? Which is worse?
Schofielder. But they're both deceived. I mean, I don't even know where you start there.
All right. You know? Okay, Pastor Steve, why don't you take from verse 33 to the end? My book is, as it says, it's the New Cambridge Paragraph Bible. It's divided up into paragraphs. I don't know if your versions
are. I'm not going to use Almighty Lord. I'm going to use El Shaddai because that's what it says in Hebrew. This is an English translation, which they have synchronized in part with the mistranslations in the other Bibles. You can see they have touched this somewhat. They don't use the Hebrew names, which we need to familiarize our people with the Hebrew names.
Sure.
We need to take back our heritage and don't give the Jews anything.
Right.
So
and we can pretend we understand them when they're cursing us in pig Hebrew. Whatever they call their language.
Yiddish Hebrew. Verse 33, Hebrew. Thus says El Shaddai, your house is desolate. I will cast you out as the wind does stubble. Okay, what's going to be burned? Stubble.
Jews.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Let me stop you right there. Verse 38 of Matthew 23. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Same word.
Amazing, isn't it?
Right?
He was totally referencing this book, Christ.
Yes, he is.
There's no doubt whatsoever.
Yeah, chapter 1 of the second Ezra.
He's all over this book.
And
this is another book of Scripture left out of the Bible, hidden for the elect. And later on, Ezra makes that claim that this book was hidden for the elect at the end. That's why it's not in the Bible. That's why we're going through it.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
What a privilege.
Verse 34, and your children shall not be fruitful, for they have despised my commandment and done the thing that is an evil before me. They were in apostasy with idol worship. Okay. Yes. Verse 35, your houses will I give to a people that shall come, which not having heard of me, yet shall believe me, to whom I have showed no signs, yet they shall do that I have commanded
okay,
them.
Okay, all right, let's stop there.
In dispersion.
Yes. Yeah. So, because...
Here's my note the first time I read this.
Okay.
The white nations of dispersion, he's describing us. Yeah. Who else could it be?
Yeah. That hit right. me immediately. I didn't even have to think about it. It was right there in front of me, like it was part of the sentence.
Right. Because the 10 tribes, the so-called lost tribes, were dispersed throughout the Greco-Roman world, and they saw no miracles after Yahweh cast them out. It's over. It was over. Okay?
No.
So, and they hadn't apparently had not even heard the name of Yahweh. If they did, they forgot it, and so that their subsequent generations from the Assyrian captivity onward forgot it. Okay? So they had to be re-educated. But nevertheless, they were still offered a redemption at Calvary because it was promised to them even before the law was given. Okay?
Yep.
All right?
He knew them aforetime.
That's right. Okay.
Brothers, these next few verses are describing us in the current moment to me. It says, I will give your houses to a people that will come who without having heard me will believe, those to whom I have shown no signs will do what I have commanded. They have seen no prophets, yet will recall their former state. I call to witness the gratitude of the people that is to come, whose children rejoice with gladness, though they do not see me with bodily eyes, yet with the spirit they will believe the things I have said. Oh, praise Yahweh for these verses. What a prophecy that is.
Wow.
This is the awakening of the white race in the end times. Mm-hmm. That's what he's talking about here.
Yes, absolutely.
Our people waking up to who they really are, casting off the deception of the seed line of Cain that has been screwing our minds up for I don't even know how long, a hell of a long time, longer than I can figure out.
Yeah, and the early
pretty
Christians,
much,
too. The early
pretty
Christians.
Much since the garden, I would say they've been messing with our heads.
Yeah.
And yet we will awaken, and we will, you know, we are the people that are to come. Even though we did not see the Messiah with bodily eyes, with the Spirit, we will believe the things we have heard. This is us in the end days. This is our people.
Yeah.
Praise Yahweh for this.
It also applies to the Christian Israelites in Palestine, in the Asia Minor, the western coast, or actually the eastern coast of the Mediterranean. Go ahead and read the next verse, because it talks about we will see people from the east.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, let me read here. And now, Father, look with pride and see the people coming from the east. To them I will give as leaders Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Hosea, and Amos, and Micah, and Joel, and Obadiah, and Jonah, and Nahum, and Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, who is also called the messenger of the Lord.
Okay. So technically, our people, these people are, all came from the east because they came from Mesopotamia. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So that's
that is
true.
Correct.
Okay. So that was
that's,
true
that's
then.
That's where a lot of our people went for dispersion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's
Let me
true
ask
for
you
us today and then. Yeah.
If you walked into your average Judeo-Christian church and read off this list of heroes, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Hosea, Amos, all the minor prophets, and you ask a question, raise your hand out there in the pews. If you think all of these names of these individuals, if you think they're all Jewish, raise your hand. Do you know how many hands would go up?
Oh, yeah. 90%.
Pretty much all
least.
Of them.
Right.
A number of years ago, my hand would have gone up.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought, well, Abraham, a Jew? Yeah, obviously. Isaac? Yeah. You know, I thought, hell, we're lucky to be here, man. We got grafted in. We came in the back door. You know?
Yeah.
That's how I was taught. Oh. What a difference it is to see
Abraham and
the
Isaac,
racial truth of the scripture.
Were born before Judah, so they can't be named after Judah. Right?
Well, we have to remember that he said, none comes to the Father unless he calls him. The stuff is being given to us, and we're reading it, and those that are called will hear it, and those that are not called will say it's a bunch of malarkey. Oh, that's just one of those weird books they're trying to put stuff in.
Yeah.
You're just a racist there, Steve.
They have hardened their hearts.
You're a Nazi.
Okay?
Yep.
That's you guys it. Are trying well, to be Jews.
I got one thing to say to you, Greg. And?
Right. Yeah. Your point?
And?
Okay. Well. Finally got into the chat room. All right. Chapter 2. Let me pick it up. We'll just take turns. These are the next 7 verses in chapter 2. Thus saith Yahweh, I brought this people out of bondage, and I gave them my commandments by my servants the prophets, whom they would not hear, but despised my counsels. It's still true today. Verse 2, the mother that bore them saith unto them, go your way, ye children, for I am a widow and forsaken. I brought you up with gladness, but with sorrow and heaviness have I lost you. They grew up to be teenagers. For ye have sinned before the Lord your God, and done that is evil before him. But what shall I do now unto you? I am a widow and forsaken. Go your way, O my children, and ask mercy of Yahweh. As for me, O Father, I call upon thee for a witness over the mother of these children, which would not keep my covenant, that thou bring them to confusion, and their mother to a spoil, that there may be no offspring of them. Let them be scattered abroad among the heathen. Let their names be put out of the earth, for they have despised my covenant. That's predicting the scattering of the children of primarily of Samaria, but it's also true of the children of Judah as well. Okay. Steve, absolutely. You have a comment at this point?
There may be no offspring of them. Well, we're killing our offspring.
Yeah. Right.
Baby, how blatant is that?
Yep.
If they do get pregnant, they won't do their duty as a white mother and have that white child.
Mm-hmm.
They abort it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is the same as throwing your babies into the fires of Moloch. What's the difference?
Yeah, and we in are fantasy. Scattered among the nations. That's not heathen there. That's nations.
Right. Right.
Okay, let all their right. names be put out of the land, not the earth, for they have despised my covenant.
Yes. Greg, you want to take it up from verse 8?
I was just thinking about abortionists in the land and how the vast majority of them are Jews.
Right.
It's almost the perfect job for a Jew.
Well, they got to eat.
He can make a good living,
and he gets to terminate. Blood to drink and meat to eat, you know?
He gets to terminate white children in the womb. They must get off on aborting a white infant.
Yes. And get paid for it.
Get paid for it. It's the perfect job for a Jew.
Yeah.
You know? They get to murder us and get paid well for doing it. Eli, you know the story I'm referencing that I won't tell here.
Yeah, right.
Steve, I'll tell you the story sometime,
keep
but not
powder
on the air.
Dry.
Okay, no, not on the air.
Yeah,
no.
Not on the air. Eli will understand.
Yeah.
I'll tell you sometime in person, but I had an interesting run-in.
Yeah,
anyway, Eli, what was that verse we let off?
All right, verse 8.
8?
Yeah.
Yeah. Woe to you, Assyria, who conceal the unrighteous in your midst. O wicked nation, remember what I did to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Remember!
Whose land lies in lumps of pitch and heaps of ashes. So will I do to those who have not listened to me,
okay.
Says the Lord Almighty.
Okay, let's stop right there. Let's stop
Ezra.
Right there. Aren't the churches teaching that homosexuality is all right with God? Haven't
the
they forgotten?
Churches teach it, yeah.
Yeah, haven't they forgotten what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah?
Because Jesus died to save everybody, brother. Remember that.
Remember who?
He's a God of love, Eli. You got to remember that.
Right.
And if you're a man that loves Sodom? Men sexually, and Jesus died for you, well, that's just a normal thing. And,
yeah, right.
You know, that's
Jesus
God's
loves
love poured
everybody,
out to you.
Including poofters.
And besides, that's Old Testament, so
yeah,
that all
right.
doesn't count anymore because we're okay. in the New Testament church age.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's being taught out there.
Yeah.
You know? That's why you can eat pig meat today.
Right.
You can eat lobsters and scallops and catfish and all the bottom feeders because that's all Old Testament stuff. And, you know, when Jesus died, he nailed that to the cross, and that's all done. So just
okay.
live your life.
And so what does he say? Even
if,
so
if
will
feel,
I,
if it feels good, do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Even so will
tell,
I do
the,
unto them that hear me
that
not.
I will give them the kingdom of Jerusalem, which I was going to give to Israel. Moreover, I will take
Jews.
Back to myself their glory and will give to these others the everlasting habitations which I had prepared for Israel.
Glorified bodies. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
He continues with this thought. The tree of life shall give them fragrant perfume, and they shall neither toil nor become weary. Ask and you will receive. Oh, Yahshua Christ was into this book.
Yeah, bring it now.
Ask and you will receive. Pray that your days may be few.
Yes.
That they may be shortened. This is a gospel concept, the shortening of the days.
That's right.
The kingdom is already prepared for you. Watch. Call, call heaven and earth to witness. For I left out evil and created good. Because I live, saith Yahweh.
Yeah.
Mother, embrace your sons. Bring them up with gladness, as does the dove. Establish their feet, because I have chosen you, saith Yahweh.
That's very very exclusive. I have chosen you. He's addressing Israel.
Brothers, this is the theme right from Matthew.
Right, it is, yeah.
Christ was basically quoting from 2 Ezra.
Yes, sure is.
Incredible.
Christ
totally
Christ
establishes
said,
this book.
Christ
completely
said,
establishes you, this book as scripture to me, totally.
Yeah, Christ said, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, what about those altar calls, Pastor Steve? Don't you choose Jesus when you make an altar call, right?
Well, or, you go up there for that Jew on a stick that they've got in their
right.
The graven image that they've got in their church.
Yes.
And bow down before it.
Yeah.
How scriptural is that?
Every scenario being painted here by Esdras can be found in the New Testament. Directly attributed, you know, well, Yahshua doesn't say, I'm quoting 2 Esdras, but it's practically word for word. Now, three different passages we've discovered already. Okay.
Well,
Eli, let me ask you a question, brother.
In those days knew this.
Yes, they did.
It was current literature.
Eli, let me ask you a question here on verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like you to kind of tell me your thoughts on this. He says, call heaven and earth to witness, for I left out evil and created good because I live, saith Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts when you read that verse? What interpret
well,
that for me, because I have a few thoughts on it. I want to see if you're thinking along the line I am. You too, Steve. Verse 14 there.
Well, there's a verse.
I left out evil and created good because I live. I believe he's hearkening back to an event here. I think you're going to get it, Eli.
Well, I think,
what do you see here?
Well, I see it. To me, it brings up 1 John, I think it's verses 3-8, where it says, he came to destroy the works of the devil.
Okay.
Okay? But he's not done yet. That's still in the process and the big breaking in pieces. My translation puts it this way. Take heaven and earth to witness, for I have broken the evil in pieces and created the good, for I live, saith Yahweh. And Yahshua says also, I came to bring you life and that more abundantly. This is a God of life. but we have to choose life over death, because our ancestors have made a covenant with death, and so have the Judeo-Christian priesthood.
That's good, Eli. I almost feel like he's referencing back to the Garden of Eden here.
Okay.
Where Yahweh did not create evil in the world, but there was a rebellion of his created beings. Mm-hmm. The angels rebelled. They looked down upon the earth. They saw incredible, hot-looking white women, and white women are the cutest girls on the planet. I must admit, I still have a weakness for white women. No other women attract me, by the way.
Right.
Only white women, and I do have a weakness for them. And I realize this. If angelic beings would leave the heavens to lust and go after white women, who am I to think that it could not happen to me?
Yeah, it says
these are beings
Adam.
With incredible power, eternal life, personal relationship with Yahweh. They cast all of that off to come to earth and have sex with white women. And this was the rebellion that took place that the earth is still cursed because of. And I believe he's referencing this here. It says, I left out evil and created good because I live. And then this very interesting entreaty in verse 15. Mother, embrace your sons. Bring them up with gladness, as does the dove. Establish their feet, because I have chosen you. And when I read this, because I view the scriptures now with racial understanding.
Mm-hmm, right.
And that is the key to understanding all scripture, is understanding who the players are. If you're just your average human race person, you think Jesus died to save every creature with two legs, you'll never understand scripture your whole life. But if you understand the concept of race and that a particular race are Yahweh's children, let me paraphrase verse 15. White mother, embrace your pure-blooded white sons. Bring them up with gladness, as does the dove. Establish their feet, because I have chosen your race, saith Yahweh. Right. That's my paraphrasing and my theological interpretation of this verse. And I'm positive that's what it's saying. This is, yet again, a very racial book, as are all scripture books, once you see the truth.
Right.
Jesus Christ didn't die to save everyone on the planet, brothers.
Right.
I think we're clear on that, aren't we?
Well, the New Testament reference to this verse, verse 15, is in John 15:19. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, where's John 3:16 in all this? But I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Okay?
That's why our race is not hated in this world?
Only Christian identity is hated. White people
hate
Christian identity.
Us, brother.
They sure do.
The other races hate us, some to varying degrees.
The Jews
but
especially.
Mostly, if all the other races on the planet had a button in front of them that said, push this button, right. The white race ceases to exist.
The extermination button.
Is there a single race out there that would not push that button?
That's the black button. Uh-oh.
They'd all push that button.
Yeah, right.
Let me ask, Steve, let me ask
you. The final solution button. Yeah.
I already know the answer, but once in a while I have this weird fantasy conflict on my head. I have two buttons in front of me. Button A, I push, all Jews vanish from the earth. Button B, all Negroes vanish from the earth. Which button do you push,
hey,
brother?
Is this an episode of the Twilight Zone?
Yes, it is. I'm Rod the Jew,
right,
Serling.
Right.
Well, quite honestly, Greg, I would slam my fist down on both of them at the time.
I know. If I took away that option, you can't push them both. Obviously, we would push the J button.
Right.
The Jews have got to go.
If the Jews are gone,
we solve the Negro problem in a week. Right. In a week, the Negroes are gone, that's an easy one to deal with.
Yes.
They will revert to type. They're already doing so in the inner cities.
Yes.
Yeah, they're cannibals. They boil their young in scalding bathtubs. They can't rid themselves of their cannibal background.
No, they can't.
They're
they
talking can't. Animals. That's all they are. Yeah.
Well, all right, we only have ones that are more dangerous because they are a hybrid, or in hybrid, and
that the hybrid's even more dangerous.
The mixed blood drives them nuts.
Yes.
Well, that, and they mix evil with white intelligence, and that's a very dangerous combination because there's not enough white genetics there to take over the evil of their nature. So
no, how about their inclination is to their original beings.
That long-legged Mac Daddy.
Not original beings. We can't send the ones over here back to Africa because they couldn't live. No. They're not acclimatized to the climate or the diseases or the toxins in the waters. They couldn't live on what they're living here now. They're not used to working, most of them. And the ones that are used to working, there's no jobs where the blacks still dominate in Africa. Now, where's this great black civilization?
Yeah, where is it?
I'd like to see it. Where is it? Mm-hmm. Chicago?
Detroit.
Is that an answer?
Detroit. Haven't you seen Detroit?
No, our Negroes over here are heavily coddled. We basically feed them, clothe them, give them spending money. If they work, they work some, you know, bullshit job where they basically show up and they can't be fired. You know, if they show up 3 days a week, it's probably good enough.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's ridiculous. It's an insane system.
The Jews have taught them how to be victims and get welfare money for it, right? Okay, we only have about 7 minutes left. So, Pastor Steve, why don't you take verses 16 through 19?
Okay. I'll read from the website where we're at, the sacred text. And those that be dead will I raise up again from their places. Oh! And bring them out of the graves. The dead's will rise first. For I have known my name in Israel.
Okay, amen. Isn't Paul quoting this verse?
Yeah.
Right? In the twinkling of an eye?
17, fear not, thou mother of the children, for I have chosen thee.
There we go again.
Who is the mother? The mother is a figure of speech for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not talking about a physical mother. The mother is, in the book of Revelations, is Israel, the woman.
Ancestry. It's talking about our ancestry.
Good observation, brother. I think that's well said. Yeah. Amen.
There will be enmity between thee and the woman and her seed.
Mm-hmm.
For they shall crush your head and you shall bruise their heel. This is the mother of Israel. Verse 18. For your help will I send my servants Esau.
No. Isaiah.
That says Esau here.
That's a typo.
All right.
Mine says Isaiah and Jeremiah.
Yeah, that's a typo.
I don't think he's going to send him Esau.
Jeremiah. I'll read from this text here.
Yeah. That's a bad typo. Yeah.
I'll just go to this text and to heck with that. I will send you help, my servants Isaiah and Jeremiah.
There you go.
According their counsel, I have consecrated and prepared for you 12 trees loaded with various fruits.
Amen.
And the same number of springs flowing with milk and honey. And 7 mighty mountains, 7 is a holy number, on which roses and lilies grow. By these, I will fill your children with joy.
Amen. Okay.
So how far did you want me to go?
Well, just keep going until we use up our time.
Guard the rights of the widow, secure justice for the fatherless.
What Jesus, when he said, I come to feed the hungry, clothe the needy, and set the prisoners free?
Right.
All right.
Brothers, I think if we look at the context here.
Clothe the naked.
I think he's really saying this. Guard the rights of the white widow. Secure justice for the white fatherless.
You're so
give
racist.
To the white needy. I don't think the other races even enter into these verses.
No. It's all about Israel.
It says defend the orphan and clothe the naked.
Mm-hmm.
Care for the injured and the weak. Do not ridicule the lame. Protect the maimed and let the blind have a vision of my splendor.
Yes.
Amen.
The first
protect
sermon.
The old,
brothers.
Protect the old and the young within your walls. When you find any who are dead, commit them to the grave and mark it. And I will give you the first place in my resurrection.
Praise Yahweh.
And be quiet, my people, because your rest will come.
Be patient. Be patient. Yes.
This is the true living out of the Christian experience, the true Christian life right here laid
brotherhood.
Out for us.
This is real brotherhood.
So
here.
Practical, so day-to-day real. This is incredible stuff.
These are the verses that Yahshua quoted in his first sermon before the synagogue. He was actually
quoting.
He
really was. Yeah, he was going right to this book.
Yeah, right. And of course, these are also words are also contained in Isaiah. He was reading from the book of Isaiah, and then he said, "These words have been fulfilled in your ears this day," and he closed the book. And then they all rose up and wanted to throw him off the cliff because who's this guy? He claims to be the Messiah. Let's get rid of him. Right? And it wasn't just the Jews that were saying this. It was Israelites who didn't want the Messiah to come.
Like today, the Israelites don't want us rocking their little boat.
That's right. Right. They've got it. They've got their stand pat sermons and their, their churchianity. And they're not about to let it go because why? It pays for their afterlife, after church life, right? Their pensions. It pays for their pensions, so they're not going to give that up.
Well, brothers and sisters, let's go on down to Joe's Rib House and get us some pulled pork sandwiches.
Baby backs.
See you at the pancake breakfast in the morning.
Hallelujah and amen. Yeah.
Right. So this is so telling, and it predicts. This is a book of prophecy, as you want to point out, Pastor Greg, that this book of Second Ezra contains so much prophecy, some that's already been fulfilled in New Testament times, and we'll find out much of this is being fulfilled by us today. Okay.
Oh yeah.
As we continue through here, so we're already.
Our job.
That's right. And bring this book back to life as it's supposed to be, like the rest of the Bible, which is a dead book for churchianity. It's totally dead.
It's totally
churchianity
dead, brother.
Dead religion.
And this book is completely alive in our
Amen.
Moment right now, and I'm excited we're into it. I know we're out of time.
Yeah.
We'll jump back in here next week, and praise Yahweh for this book. What an amazing book. By the way, this book correlates much with Baruch, and in Charles's translation of Baruch, he puts in a concordance in the back with the correlations.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take it upon myself to start pointing those out.
Yeah, very good. Let's do that next week. All right, gentlemen, thank you. Job well done
Shalom
today.
Aleichem.
See you next time. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh, brothers and sisters.
All right.